3 today.
A Baghdad bombing. Twin suicide bombers during morning rush hour leaves 165 people dead and 540 wounded at the latest count. Also, 4 Americans killed in a mid-air helicopter crash over Baghdad, or over Afghanistan, rather. We've got the details on that. And the co-pilot of the Northwest plane that overshot the Minneapolis airport by 150 miles is saying nobody fell asleep, nobody was arguing in the cockpit. So what happened? We'll talk with former pilot and aviation expert Denny Kelly coming up. But first, President Obama declares H1N1 a national emergency. And what in the world is going on with these swine flu parties? Happy you decided to join us on America Tonight, coast to coast and everywhere in between. Kate Delaney, the captain of this ship, as we ride some definitely choppy waters on this version of ATN. Joining us right at the top, pharmacist Donna Barsky from the Texas Star Pharmacy right off the get-go. Dr. Barsky, man, you look at this whole idea of a swine party, and I hate to say it, but in my head I'm just thinking Botox, but even scarier. What is the deal on this?
Well, I'm kind of appalled. Many years ago, when they had chickenpox, parents would do that. They'd have these chickenpox parties to expose their children to chickenpox so that they could get it over with. But to do that with swine flu, I mean, this thing is deadly. Now, not many people died from chickenpox, but there are a lot of deaths from this, and this is not something I would recommend.
Yeah, so have you gotten phone calls? Have you heard about that? I got a phone call about it. Somebody was telling me about it in Texas, but it's also cropping up, I guess, in other places. And like as you said, people must not be realizing just how dangerous this is, I guess, right?
Well, I don't think they do. I mean, they're looking at it thinking, well, it's just the flu. But, you know, the flu claims a lot of lives in the United States every year. You know, and now the swine flu is even deadlier because some of these children have never been exposed to anything like this. They don't have any immunities against it. And influenza kills. You know, if it starts attacking their respiration, I mean, they can be critical in a matter of, you know, within a day.
Are you getting a lot of panicky phone calls at the pharmacy or a lot of people calling up and questioning, you know, geez, should I get vaccinated? And, oh, there's not enough vaccines. And, or do I need the nasal spray? Are people confused about the whole deal?
Well, they are panicked to a certain extent. I mean, there's so much information out there, and a lot of it is rather confusing. You know, do I get the injection? Do I do the nasal spray? The nasal spray is more of a weakened virus. It's not a dead virus. You know, the immunization from the shot is probably a little safer in a child who has asthma or has upper respiratory problems. But, you know, to expose a child to the flu intentionally is not necessarily the smartest move. And we prefer that they do this a little more. If you can get a vaccination, that's probably wise, and especially if you have a child with upper respiratory problems. But, you know, the nasal spray is good in those kids who are healthy. And right now, I've seen a trend from, you know, the swine flu traveling from the high school to the middle school to the elementary school. And right here in Texas, we're seeing a bunch of preschoolers now that have the swine flu.
Wow. So what do you do if you have a child out there in any of those levels, whether you just mentioned it, the trail from the high school to the middle school to the younger kids? I'm sure for parents, especially with the younger kids, they have to be really panicked, and I can only imagine as much as they're calling their doctors, I bet a lot of them are calling you and asking you what to do.
We get calls all day long, you know, about various and assorted questions. But, you know, we just try to field them and field them well and try and give them correct information. Most of the time we tell them, you know, if the child has peaked the temperature, you know, over 101 degrees, get a hold of the doctor. You've got a 48-hour window to treat that patient with an antiviral. Once the antiviral is on board, usually they'll go ahead and recover quite nicely. Kids are resilient. You know, they'll bounce right back. But, you know, if you wait too long, and that's the issue, if you don't get treated, you know, within that 48-hour window of the time that they start peaking that temperature, then your respiration problems just begin.
Yeah. So do you think that's the problem, Donna, that a lot of people just simply, as you said, wait too long and then all of a sudden it's too late or more panic sets in and they're racing to the emergency room? Do you think that's what it is? It really is just nip it right in the beginning and, like you said, that 48 hours.
Well, and some of it is that they don't really know, you know, what's happened. And, of course, you know, kids come up with everything. There's all kinds of little viruses out there that can peak a temperature, you know, and if the parent has been through something like that before, they may not be alarmed at first. But in most cases, once the swine flu hits that kid, it's usually very rapid. You know, that's the difference in this one. It doesn't come on slowly. It comes on suddenly. You know, if you have a child that all of a sudden at 1 minute they're fine and, you know, 3 hours later they're peaking a temperature and they're feeling pretty lousy, I think it's time to find the doctor.
Yeah. Does it feel like to you, because now you're saying how you're getting all these phone calls, you just talked about all the different kids that are getting it and where it's spreading, does it feel like, and you've dealt with the flu for so long, does it feel like a national health emergency to you?
I would say it's pretty widespread. I mean, not just in Texas. It's across the board. I know there are certain parts of the United States are being hit a little harder than others. And, of course, anytime you get a bunch of kids together, someone's going to spread something. You know, kids are very, very good about sharing some of those things. So you have a large school system or a large city, you know, they're going to be more exposed or have more high risk of being exposed than those who are probably in a rural setting.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. So you would advise anyone, hey, you get any one of these wacky phone calls about swine flu parties, avoid, 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 right?
Absolutely. I mean, that just appalls me every time I think about it. This is not something that's benign. This is a dangerous thing, you know, and with kids who don't have any immunities against it, it could be deadly if it gets out of hand.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, thanks for hanging late with us. We appreciate it as always. It was great to have you back on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, Donna Barsky, of course, with Texas Star Pharmacy. Again, it's unbelievable to me. I agree as well with her that people would have these parties and think that it's okay when you're dealing with what you're dealing with there. I mean, any kind of influenza, much different than, I guess, how people used to think about the chicken pox. Coming up next, we're going to talk about that Northwest flight that got derailed and what is the scoop on that? What is going on in the skies? But before we do that, quickly, because this is breaking news, I mentioned it at the top and we cracked open the microphone, but the U.S. military is saying 4 American troops were killed and 2 actually injured now in a collision of the 2 helicopters in southern Afghanistan. Hostile fire pretty much ruled out at this part, this first thing I thought in this crash. Don't have a lot of details on it. Just know that it went down. And they're not sure of anything else other than they're pretty much saying we don't believe that this is hostile fire at all in this case. And coming up a little bit later, we're going to talk about what's going on in Afghanistan with, of course, November 7th being the runoff election with President Hamid Karzai and the challenger Abdullah Abdullah and his thoughts on why it took Karzai so long to get on board and also the critics out there saying that some of the stories were exaggerated about election fraud. He has some definite thoughts about that, as well as he was part of the Sunday swirl. But next, we're talking about how some pilots could overshoot an airport by 150 miles. It boggles the mind, doesn't it?
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to liquid zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free liquid zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. system. Liquid Zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try Liquid Zeolite today.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The DigiNet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your DigiNet Spy products today, because video never lies.
Do you have trouble getting through the day? Do you feel tired and worn out? Pounding expensive energy drinks? It's a proven fact. Many people do not get the proper daily intake of essential vitamins and nutrients. With the lifestyles we lead, eating fruits and vegetables is sometimes easier said than done. Introducing Choose 4 Health. Choose 4 Health brings you 16 powerful ingredients in one delicious chewable for around 75 cents per day. Each chewable contains a full day's worth of the necessary fruit and vegetable intake you need. Choose 4 Health also contains antioxidants and vitamin B12 to give you that extra boost to curb midday cravings for snacks, energy drinks, and coffee. Call 1-800-210-1922 right now and you will receive a 1 week supply of Choose 4 Health absolutely free. Just pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-210-1922. That's 1-800-210-1922. Or visit orderchews.com. That's orderchews.com. Start your healthy lifestyle now.
Everybody, Kate Delaney hanging out with you here on America Tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Hope you were on a plane that didn't make it to its destination, or I shouldn't say didn't make it to its destination, overshot where you were supposed to go. Shocking stuff on this Northwest flight last Wednesday. They fall out of contact with air traffic controllers for more than an hour and, again, overshoot their destination by 150 miles. We're going to let you hear from a passenger coming up around the bend who was on that flight. So now both pilots have been interviewed. They're talking to, of course, the rest of the air crew as well. There were 149 people on board. There were 78 minutes of radio silence. I mean, just crazy, crazy stuff. What could possibly have happened? Originally, it was thought that there was some kind of fight with the pilots, which sounded ridiculous, over procedure. And then that was dismissed. Supposedly now, after being interviewed by the NTSB, both pilots said no, they didn't fall, they hadn't fallen asleep or any of that sort of stuff. Just very, very bizarre. And of course, all of us are curious as to what really happened there. So who better to have on the show? He was on with us before, and he's just terrific. Denny Kelly, former pilot and now an aviation investigator with his own company. Denny, thanks so much for popping on.
Thank you for having me.
This is the strangest thing. What's your, as somebody who's flown so many flights, you know about these planes and you know about what happens inside. What, I mean, we're all just guessing here, but what was your initial reaction to how could they have missed that?
Well, my initial reaction is the same as my reaction right now, and that is that I think they fell asleep. And I think this is a problem that's been going on with the airlines for years and years, and it's never really been brought public before, but it happens all the time. And it's, you know, international flights, you can legally take a nap, and in fact, they have crew rest periods, but domestically they don't, and there's you know, just because you're flying domestic doesn't mean that for some reason you don't get tired. And I think what happened was I think they fell asleep.
Yeah, and some of these guys are working 14, 15 hours a day, I guess, with some of hops that they make and whatnot. So, of course, they have to be a little bit ragged out. That seems ridiculous to me. I mean, are these guys just stretched so thin? It's, you know, this is the kind of things that we're going to see start to happen?
Well, yeah, and it's not just recently. I mean, again, it's happened all the time. I mean, I can go back to 1958, 1956. There were things just exactly like this that happened and come forward. I mean, in the last year, there's been an incident in Hawaii where a flight crew took off and flew for 25 minutes, and they overflew their destination by 20 minutes, and finally somebody woke them up. They both fell asleep in broad daylight. So it happens. And the problem is that these people, they go on duty odd hours, and they fly for long periods of time, and then when they get somewhere, they lay over in a hotel, and they're in a strange bed. They may not get a good night's rest, and then they start again the next day, and so they're tired. I mean, it just happens, and there's things that can be done about it, but of course, the airlines and everybody's not going to want to do that because it costs money.
Yeah, the FAA apparently is being. You know, lobbied by some of the unions and whatnot and the airlines to say, like you said, how it wasn't uncommon in international flights to be able to take a nap, that maybe you need to relax some of the rules in this game a little bit and allow the pilots to actually sleep a little bit on the job. But obviously that's a very tough sell. But doesn't that kind of make sense? If you've got a co-pilot,
absolutely.
Wouldn't it be better to do that?
Absolutely, and it happens. I mean, I used to tell my crew, you know, if somebody's tired and I need to go to sleep, just tell me. So you can go to sleep and we can do what you're supposed to be doing. And then when it comes time to let down or whatever, we can wake you back up. But it's better to take a 15, 20, 30-minute nap and be a little bit refreshed than it is to be so sleepy you can't keep your eyes open. And there's no reason not to. I mean, if you're at altitude and you're cruising along and nothing, everything's going right and the weather's good, there's no reason why one of the pilots can't take a nap if need be. And they do. I mean, it happens. It's just that the FAA doesn't condone it, and they don't condone it because of a lot of reasons, and there would be a lot of resistance to it because it just sounds bad. But in reality, that's something they should let them do. Just that simple.
Yeah, no kidding. What are some other things that you think could be done? Is there anything else that you would say? Maybe this is something that could happen that might help, even though I think it's a shot in the dark.
I can remember when I got into the airline business, before I got into the airline business and after I got into the airline business, there was a big push for a formula that the pilots would use to figure out how long they could be on duty and how long their trips could be. And it was a formula that took into consideration how long they would be on duty, how many landings, how many takeoffs, times on duty, all this kind of thing. There was about six or seven different parameters that were put into this thing. And it made a lot of sense, and it would certainly keep a lot of this down, and it would certainly keep these pilots awake most of the time, at least most of the time, but nobody would go for it. The airlines wouldn't go for it, and the FAA wouldn't go for it. And it's ridiculous that they won't. It's just they have these archaic rules that nobody wants to change, but they're going to have to. It's just that simple.
Yeah, no kidding. And isn't this go back to the same problem all over again? I mean, there are so many qualified pilots that are out of work, but you said it, nobody wants to pay. I mean, this is part of the problem.
Oh, it's a big problem because if you cut down on the amount of duty time that a pilot can be on duty, you cut down on the amount of time that a pilot can actually fly per day per 24-hour period, and then you start controlling the departure times and the arrival times and this kind of thing, it's going to cost the airlines money because they're going to have to change their schedules around, and they don't want to do it. But at some point, there's going to have to be some changes in the rules, and at some point, the airlines and the unions are going to have to get together, and they're going to have to work something out because, these things are going to continue to happen, and it's going to get worse.
Yeah, and you know what's scary to me, Denny, too, you think about this. Of course, on the ground, there's, like, panic. We haven't heard from them. What do we do? Geez, we got to scramble the fighter jets. They're going to have to intercept this Airbus. And then now you're also talking about putting jets up in the air and then the panic that what would ensue from that and all that sort of stuff. And if you see this happening more and more, I mean, I don't think that the system can work that way. Obviously, it's broken. There's a problem here. And
well,
so somehow, some way,
there's no question that it's broken. And of course, that's another question in this incident. Why did they, after an hour and 18 minutes, why hadn't they still scrambled, the Air National Guard to go up and look at this airplane? I mean, it used to be right after 9/11, 20 minutes. If they didn't have radio contact, you within 20 minutes, they'd scramble on you. And you could get these fighters up there, and they could look in the cockpit and all this kind of thing. And why didn't they scramble these fighters? I mean, that's one of the questions I would ask. And there's no question. I mean, how can you possibly think that these two guys were sitting up in the cockpit having some kind of intense conversation to the point where for an hour and 20 minutes they didn't hear the radio, they didn't look out the window and see what, the Minneapolis-St. Paul was going underneath the airplane? I mean, come on. This is ridiculous. They had to fall asleep.
Yeah, yes, exactly. They had to fall asleep. Denny, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Denny Kelly, the president of Kelly, James & Associates. And, it's got, 34 years plus of investigating, being in the skies, so he knows about what he talks about. Hey, sometime you and I are going to go have that lunch.
I'll call you this week.
All right. Thanks, Denny. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Good night.
Again, terrific stuff. He's gone to the FBI school for outside investigators, the DEA school and whatnot. And, it's been interesting. It's interesting to follow along some of the things that he's been able to see in the skies. Crazy, crazy stuff. And I agree. I think that it had to be that they fell asleep and didn't want to say that, especially when they were confronted immediately with what happened when they got off of the plane. But as he said, how can you not have known Minneapolis is right there beneath you? How could that be possible? It makes absolutely no sense. And all that time in the air, and you think of some of these close calls and the possibilities that have happened and the dangers of being overworked and these sleep deprived pilots in some of these crashes already, and like I said, the close calls. So tired pilots has to be one of the top 10 safety concerns, I would think. And I believe that safety has to be the number one thing. You got to get your people there maybe for these on-time arrivals, but you have to get them there in one piece. So if this is a consistent deal, cut back on the number of flights, add more pilots, figure out a way to do it. I don't think any of us want to fly with the people that aren't getting enough rest, and it's like playing Russian roulette. Coming back on the flip side, we're going to let you hear what one passenger said about that experience next.
An A to Z product listing, top 20 bestsellers, and 30% off monthly specials. That's just a few of the many reasons why vitamin, mineral, and herbal supplement shoppers visit RippleCreek.com every day. Listen.
I'm a customer of RippleCreek.com and find it to be one of the best companies of its kind in product, customer service, and speed of delivery, and your prices are great.
RippleCreek.com has the full range of discount vitamins, minerals, and herbal supplements in an easy-to-use A to Z listing. Find everything from amino acids to Grape Seed Plus to our special colloidal minerals formula with over 99 trace minerals. Yes, for women, fun intimacy enhancement cream to zinc. Not sure what your body needs? Click our handy vitamin guide at RippleCreek.com. Choose the low-cost online vitamin store where the internet has shopped since 1996. RippleCreek.com. Type in radio ad, and on orders over $40 this month, get a free bottle of our Grape Seed Plus product while supplies last. Hurry to RippleCreek.com today. That's RippleCreek.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
This is Jerry Pierce, the radio detective. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? Well, you should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearm training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. Now is the time you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes, and the Millionaire Patriot's paying his own money to help you get it. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it, and you should too. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30-state concealed weapons permit for pennies on the dollar. And get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FrontSight.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free gun.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Well, word is late tonight from a source I heard that's in D.C. that some the top Dems feel like they're really, really close to finalizing the health bill, and they might be able to have it all wrapped up as soon as possibly late Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. Woohoo! Aren't you excited? Not. First of all, how many pages is it going to be? And I want to meet the person who has read the entire thing and can literally be peppered with questions and knock them all down, right? And make it make sense to the rest of us. Supposedly, the public option was going to sneak back in there, too, but we'll see if that really happens. I said that we were going to hear from a passenger. I guess it was CNN or one of the cable shows I was watching did an interview with a passenger that was on that Northwest flight that we're talking about, that Airbus that, oops, we overshot the airport that all of us are just aghast at. Like, okay, let these guys sleep something, do something here, because if this is happening normally on a regular basis, as we just heard from Denny Kelly, then this is ridiculous. I don't want to be a passenger on a flight where the people are so exhausted that they're overshooting the destination, and I'm looking down shocked that we haven't landed in Philadelphia or Dallas or Minneapolis or wherever. And I know all of you who value your life, your time, your money, everything else, don't want to end up in that situation either. So here was the passenger's name's Lonnie Hedeke, and this is what he had to say about that, the situation of being on the flight and, again, missing Minneapolis, and his reaction to what happened.
No, it was a relatively normal flight, a flight that, you know, it's a 3.5 hour flight, 3 hours and 15 minutes, and, you know, it just seemed to be taking longer than normal. I expected to be on the ground about 8:15, 8:30 time frame, and at that time I looked at my watch and, no, we're still flying. We hadn't begun descending. We hadn't, they hadn't told us to put away our computers yet and stop working. Well, we all stood up. Everybody, you know, as soon as the seatbelt light goes off, everybody stands up. They start getting their luggage out of the overheads, and the flight attendant comes back on the intercom and says, "Everybody, please sit back down, or please retake your seats." And so everybody did, and at that time I saw the uniform officer come on board, and I was thinking to myself, perhaps someone in custody that they were taking off, or somebody was sick, or something was going on. But that was the first time I'd ever experienced that, but that was the only thing. They just stood up by the front of the plane talking to the pilots, so they just opened up the cockpit door, and they were just talking to them, and that was it. And they said, the flight attendants came back on and said, okay, everybody can get off.
All right, so as he said, all of a sudden people appear at the front of the plane, and it makes you wonder, well, what's going on here, what's happened here? But none of the passengers, I guess, really realized what had happened. And I don't know, that's curious to me, because usually, and maybe it's just the flights that I'm on, I see people very, you know, getting stuff ready and looking at their watch constantly. Now, I fly American a lot, and they're constantly telling you how close you are. You know, sit back for an on-time arrival, we're starting to descend, and all that sort of stuff. So you would pick up the cues, I think, with the time, and I guess they didn't do that on Northwest, because I would wonder that people weren't, you know, asking what was going on. Why aren't we landing? Especially when they say for 78 minutes they disappeared off the radio. So strange stuff. And of course the black boxes they have, this was an old one, and they don't have that all that time recorded. So what was, you know, was there anything happening between the two? Because originally they said there was an argument over airline policy. So it's pretty clear that they must have fallen asleep. That's probably what happened. So, I guess the question becomes, if the unions are trying to push to the FAA, look, you got to let these guys take a nap, like one stays up and one takes a nap, how do you feel? Think about this now. How do you feel as somebody who's flying to see a granddaughter, a nephew, your buddies, whatever? How do you feel about the possibility of the pilots doing that? Would you rather that happen than the other? And I'm going to say, if they regulated it, why not? I'd rather that than have an exhausted person flying the plane. So keep these digits handy so you can chime in on this, throw in your 2 cents, 800-259-5791, or you can shoot me an email at americatonight.net. I want to fill in the blanks a little bit with this Baghdad incident. Now, remember I talked about Afghanistan, sketchy details, 4 American troops dead. They don't think it was hostile fire at all, but it was a mid-air collision. Anything I find out about that, obviously, will update you. What's happened in Baghdad is they had a suicide car bombings, actually a couple of them. And the death toll supposedly is anywhere between 147 and 165 is the other number that I got from somebody. So obviously the deadliest attack in the last couple of years, and more than 500 people wounded, and that number is climbing too by the minute. Now, the bombs, what was targeted for the bombs was 2 government buildings, and of course, this is now what everybody's questioning, Iraq's ability to be able to protect the people, because you've got the U.S. withdrawing since June, taking more and more troops out of there. So I think that's part of the timing of this whole thing, but sad, certainly, for the people that got caught in the crosshairs of this one. All right, let's go to Sam, who's listening to us across the border in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Let's see. Right now, there's a parent I'd like to kill in my football.
So for everybody who knows that's listening, and Sam, of course, a frequent caller, obviously, to America Tonight, is a referee, umpire. What would you really say? It's referee.
Yeah, in football, it's referee.
Yeah.
Okay. It's okay. In this part of Canada, and probably all the rest of Canada, it's playoffs. Okay, so I'm working with a rookie. She's, you know, good, you know, knowledgeable of the game, you know, picks up on everything we say. She makes what I think is a great call. One parent didn't like it, as, of course, the call was against his son. So we're walking into the referee's room. He doesn't bother to knock. He walks in, goes specifically to her, and says, "That was a terrible call, the worst call I've ever seen." I said, "Sir, please leave and knock. If you want to come in and talk to you." He goes, "Blank you." I said, "Sir, please." He goes, "And who the blank you?" I said, "I'm the head referee. Now, if you don't get out, you know, just leave." "Okay." So he pushes her. He pushes her. 16-year-old girl.
Mm.
So then the president of the local minor football association happens to be a cop and said, "Sam, do you want charges pressed?" And I looked at her, and her mother walked in about 30 seconds later and heard the story and said, "No, just get the name-calling loser out of here." So after we calmed her down, I said, "That was a great call, and I'm not trying to make be nice." And the other two officials who are veteran officials, one of them is a CFL official, but he had the weekend off, said, "Yeah, that was a fantastic call. I wouldn't have done it any better in the CFL." So after we calmed it down, we went out for the next game. Great game. And, of course, he's standing there in the parking lot. And I said, "Now, either you move." He said, "This is a free country." I said, "Either you move or we call the police and we don't have to look so far." So a cop car just happens to be driving by. The president of this particular football station flags him down and goes, "Hey, guys, how you doing? By the way, can you get this and I'm speaking as the president of the football association, not a cop. Can you get this piece of human excrement out of here?" So it's just to prove, no matter if it's the littlest little kids or he used the same line that another parent used. "Well, you're paid to take it." Yeah, right.
It seems like, Sam, it's a tough gig doing this referee thing, isn't it?
Well, now we're in the playoffs, so, you know, you can understand. But it only takes 22 parents to ruin it. And by the way, I spoke to Steve today, and where was he? In Jerusalem. I guess you heard what happened.
Yes. What did he say? What details did he give you?
Well, he was going, you know, because every so often he goes in the, you know, he goes in the pray, and today was a, today he was doing some research because, like I told you, he's going for his master's in educational administration. So he went to Hebrew U to do some research, and he was there, you know, praying at the wall, and he saw what was going on, and he asked people what was going on, and they said it was some Palestinians or Arabs who were, you know, rocking a boat, and then they, of course, the Palestinians claimed it was the Israelis. Okay, I mean, with all the respect to any, you know, people of Palestinian descent who are listening to your show, I sort of believe, you know, the Israeli side of, you know, Israeli side of the story, you know, because, you know, it's, you know, they could have been real SOBs and used real bullets. Instead, they used stun grenades. And if, okay, they showed it here on the news. I don't know if you had a chance to see any of the news stations.
Yeah, the grenades and the crowd, the protesters, there was hundreds of protesters who were throwing back stones and all this sort of stuff, yeah.
And some of the Muslims who weren't allowed up on the Temple Mount were praying right in the middle of the on the way to the Wailing Wall.
They just, right, like, sure.
So it's like, I don't know whether to say to them, "Hey, way to go, stand up," or, "Are you nuts?"
Yeah, and you know, the police arrested like 18 Palestinians too.
Right. So, yeah. So I said, "Steve, are you okay?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm fine." I said, "You know, I can handle myself." He goes, "Look, I played minor hockey in Montreal. I can take anything."
Yeah, who would think that would happen at the Wailing Wall? That's sad when you see stuff like that happening.
Yeah.
Sammy, take care. We'll talk to you again.
Take care, gorgeous.
All right, so as he was saying, the police on Sunday had to storm a mosque, too. They had to use stun grenades and tear gas and all that stuff. They had a bunch of protesters. They were throwing rocks at them, and one of the most revered holy sites, that's what we were just mentioning. Coming up next, the dungeon.
Times are tough, and many of us expect them to get worse. The warning signs have been everywhere for a very long time. Therefore, you have no excuse not to be prepared. If another Great Depression strikes America, how will you excuse your lack of preparation to your loved ones? There are numerous places you can buy freeze-dried food. PatriotFood.com is different because our dried food supplies are not sold in fancy tin cans. Our 25 varieties of bulk food are packaged in heavy-duty food-grade plastic bags that will last 10 years. While our competition charges $3,000, we ship to you 135 pounds of great bulk food supplies for a fraction of that. Our company is owned by a famous patriot, Big John Lipscomb. I know you can trust him. He's my dad. PatriotFood.com is the wise choice for food insurance.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. UAAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
We have somebody that we're going to put in the dungeon here on America Tonight. Now, he's actually somebody that I had a couple of conversations with when I was doing a show on WFAN in New York City. He was the GM of the Mets. His name is Steve Phillips. He's been a baseball analyst for the last couple of years for ESPN, and they fired him for having an affair with a coworker. And here's the thing. He was suspended last week. All these ugly stories came out about the fact that he was fooling around with this 22-year-old production assistant, actually, there named Brooke Hundley. It's all over the place. And apparently it's kind of like a little bit, sort of, like a Fatal Attraction. Remember that movie with Glenn Close rather, and Michael Douglas? She's a little loopy. He's gone a little bit nuts and whatnot. And apparently has approached the wife, sent her details of messages that were going back and forth between Phillips and herself and whatnot. In fact, Phillip's wife has filed for divorce since mid-September. And a 911 call was released, and this is, I want you to hear some of this. This is Steve Phillips' soon-to-be ex-wife, her name's Marnie, talking about this 22-year-old approaching her house and how worried she is for herself and her children. Listen to this.
Please hurry and come to one. I have a crazy woman who is involved with my husband, and she's come to my house to harm me and my children. One. Wilson,
okay.
Connecticut.
Okay, ma'am, is she outside?
She's pulling down my hill right now. She's in a blue Prius. She just pulled past me.
Okay, but you're
pulling down. She's going down my driveway on Madison Street. It's a blue car. It's a blue sedan.
Okay, I'm sending officers right now. What's
please
your name?
Hurry.
They're coming. They're on their way.
She's driving down Madison Street. I just the dump.
Okay. You and your car.
Please hurry and touch her. She's crazy.
They're on their way. They are on their way.
I'm trying to drive down and catch her driver's license.
Yeah, kind of sort of. Yeah. Ma'am, what's your name?
My name is Marty Phillips.
Phillips?
Yes.
We have officers on their way. They should be there shortly.
I don't know which way she turned on Mather Street. I shouldn't have let her leave the hill.
Okay, so she left now the street.
She left the hill. She's driving around town. I don't know where she is.
Okay.
I suspect that she lives in Bristol, so she's probably proceeding down 47 North.
Okay. All right. Did she confront you? Did she threaten you or anything?
She has been threatening me via texts and phone calls.
Okay. Did anything happen when she showed up?
I was out, and when I pulled in my driveway, she was on the side of my driveway, so I don't know. I didn't make it all the way to my house. I'm driving up to my house right now to see if there's any vandalism or anything.
Okay, just stay on the phone in case she comes back.
Okay.
All right, so you get the gist here. She sounds definitely pretty worried about this girl approaching her. And like I said, because she was calling, sending notes about things that had gone on between the two of them, really graphic details of what had happened. Now, Steve Phillips had some problem with this before when he was with the Mets, so you think he would have learned that this was not a direction you wanted to go in, unless he was single, you know, hey, that's different, get divorced, whatever. But when you have, especially when you have somebody who's gone nutty, you see what happens and how it explodes and what a disaster that was. So for being such a dummy, you know, the whole thing about the pen and the company Inkwell and all that sort of stuff. Let's shove Steve Phillips in the dungeon.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
Yeah, see, I mean, it's just too big of a sex scandal for ESPN, I guess they decided. It's such a frat house over there that I'm surprised that, in a way, because they waited. First they suspend him, and then I think once the details, so many details start pouring out all over the place, they decide, oh, we can't have this, we can't deal with this, so we're going to have to let him go. Because it's been all these embarrassing days of all this splashed, especially across the tabloidy type of newspapers in New York City. So all they released was a statement saying Steve Phillips is no longer working for ESPN. And it's, I mean, brutal for the family, certainly. And you could tell, I mean, she sounded pretty upset to me because this girl shows up in her driveway and you just don't know. And this 22-year-old contacted the 16-year-old son through Facebook. So clearly a little bit erratic and maybe a little bit delusional. In fact, Steve Phillips gave, it's exactly like Fatal Attraction. He had to call the cops. He had to tell the cops what was going on. And part of what happened is how this became public. He signed a statement to the police that he wouldn't press charges. So you had this police investigation, and they're looking into what's going on with her. And as I said, the wife had filed for divorce somewhere in the second week of September before this all imploded. In the meantime, of course, Yeah, baseball. We're right in the thick of it. We're about to go into the World Series with the Yankees and the Phillies. And he was one of their top analysts. He was there. And in 1998, he's the same guy who admitted to having sex with a Mets employee who sued for sexual harassment. That was settled out of court. He was fired by the Mets in 2003. So, you know, this whole thing with the workplace deal with him has not worked out very well. You think he would learn? I don't know, Matt. If I'm just gonna just give you some sage advice, if you feel like hooking up with somebody at GCN, although I think it's a lot of men that work there, take a step back, because you don't want to go there in this case. This is the problem with doing this at a work environment. First of all, he was married, and so there was bound to be problems. But for anybody, once you do that, this is what happens. If you have some kind of a breakup, or the one person's intention is just to fool around and the other person goes a little bit crazy, you're stuck. Have you ever had any friends in that situation where they've gotten stuck because they broke up with somebody they were dating at work?
Not that I can think of right offhand, because I don't know. A lot of my friends, I've had friends who have met people at work, but then either one or the other one, you know, went on to a different company or something. So I don't think I've ever had anyone I know be dating somebody at work and then have it just blow up in their face.
Yeah, I think that it depends on where you work. I think you have to be careful of it. And then there are some companies that don't allow it. Sometimes they'll allow it if you're married, and sometimes they won't even allow it if you're married, because they don't want two people that are connected to be in the job together, for fear if there is a divorce, a breakup, anything nasty, they have to deal with the fallout, and these could be valuable people, and they don't want to have to deal with it.
The only thing I can think of that's close to this is my sister is in. He's still her boyfriend now. They've been going out for 4 or 5 years. But when they first started dating, he was actually her intern.
There you go.
So,
that worked out for them, though.
That's how they met, and she already knew that she was going to be leaving the company soon. And so they started going on a couple dates, and like within a month, she was working for a different company. And then, so it wasn't a big deal. But when they first started dating, he was her intern.
Yeah, you know, and because they just met there and then went on, it wasn't a big deal. I think it's if it's a long-term thing and you're still both there, and then somebody breaks up with the other person and it gets ugly, especially if you work in the same department, and that's the thing. And he made some huge mistakes, obviously, Phillips, especially after going through what he went through with the Mets. You would think, if anything, he would stay very far away from any possibility of hooking up with any woman on the job, especially while he's in the middle of his marriage with kids and whatnot. He was just asking for trouble, and guess what? He got it. Bad boys sometimes get caught with their hands in the cookie jar, and that's exactly what happened. So now he's in our dungeon. You know how that works. We'll send a key to Steve Phillips if we can find him, because I think he's hiding under a big fat rock. But if it does make its way to Steve and he accepts it, he can join us here on a future version of America Tonight.
You look ravishing. It truly is Beauty and the Beast. I might add a handsome beast at that.
Yeah, baby! We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time?